Good evening, Skylar.
Good morning, Kim. What was it? A couple episodes ago. I'm a little bit tired today, but that's fine. A couple episodes ago, I mentioned, I think at the end of the show, that I don't play video games.
And I was very surprised by it.
And it was a very blanket statement. Yes. But it's true in general. So.
Okay. And that is very intriguing, because to me, this is relatively unusual. Maybe because majority of people I interact with play video games. And I'm not counting work colleagues. But when you say video game, what do you mean? So do you have stuff installed on your phone, haven't you?
I mean...
And that's video games.
I mean, yeah. And that's the... That's the thing. When I imagine video games, I mean, I don't play a lot of mobile games either.
Even that. Okay.
But I do have like a lot of them installed on my phone, mostly because they're hidden in the app library, like down below, so I don't see them either anyway. And I have Apple Arcade, so when I do want to play a game, that's what I go for. But even then, I don't play a lot of mobile games. But when I think of video games, because I used to play, I've never had a sort of gaming console. This is never something I was able to have as a kid. But I used to play PC games, like stuff off of Steam or anything like that. Like I played Counter-Strike for a while when I was in like middle school.
Who didn't?
Even on my phone, I don't play mobile games that much. But it ends up being this whole thing of like, how do you manage free time? But yeah, that's the first part of it.
Okay. So you do have some experience. PC gaming, Steam. What made you stop?
I feel like we're in a radio interview. I don't know.
I am trying to interview you because yeah. I'm genuinely curious, because like thing is, it's like I've played video games since I had access to computers, and then since I had the access to consoles one way or another. And okay, there've been long stretches of time where I didn't play. Big games, like so-called AAA titles and so on, but there was, like, you know, casual gaming is always happening on my phone, especially, like, it's a nice complementary activity to listening podcasts, for example. So, I'm just, like, projecting. That's why I'm so baffled why you don't play video games at all. Because to me, it's almost like that, like, everybody does it, basically. That, you know, this is the category of the activity. That's so, hence the question, what made you stop? So you just simply lost interest? Or was it some kind of, like, conscious and rational decision?
So, I'm going to compare this to something I did recently, which is tangentially related, but I...
Right.
I turned on screen time on my phone simply so that I could... force myself to stop using Twitter. And so
how's that going for you?
I mean, it works well enough. I give myself 5 minutes a day, which I usually use first thing in the morning, and then my phone tells me that I've hit my time limit. And the reason why, like, I don't just delete it, because there are certain things I definitely want to get, like, notified on Twitter if something happens. For like some of my favorite people that I follow. But because the state of the world is kind of terrible, I want to sort of avoid that as much as I can. So that was, you know, conscious decision. I'm moving away from this, but video games, and this was years ago, so I might be sort of filling in the blanks with my own memory, or I might be filling in the blanks of my memory with something else, but I sort of, whenever I had large amounts of free time, so usually like summers, or because, you know, compulsory schooling is a fact of life for the first 18 years for a lot of people. So, but whenever I had free time, I would just, you know, pick up a video game, do that for a while. Problem with that was basically every video game has an expiration date. So what I found was I would play something for some amount of time, and then I would just hit a wall, and it would not be fun anymore, and I would turn it off
and never look at it again.
And I didn't know how to deal with that, because it means that, like, I don't know what to do with my time if I know that I now don't have anything to do, and I don't want to do this because it's become boring.
But there is always a new game.
Yeah, but, like, not when every game on Steam costs at least $10. You're a high school student that doesn't have money. Like, that sort of thing. I could flip. What I did a lot was I would open Minecraft and I would play it for probably 3 days. And this was back in high school. I would do this cycle probably once every couple months. Play it for about 3 days and then not look at it again. And then about 2 months later, open it again, look at all of my old worlds, delete all of them, and start over. It's because I was on that cycle. But it's not, there's not just a new game every time, because my Steam library was basically limited to Team Fortress 2 because it was free to play, Counter-Strike, and both Portals. Like, that was basically all that I had, and Minecraft, but that's not on Steam. So, well, and then I also had Kerbal Space Program, which is a fun game if you're a nerd.
Oh, I know those. I know that one. I know that one from last year only.
Yeah. Yeah, because that one was fun. That's fun, especially when I was in the phase of being a total space nerd, because it's an explosion factory, so you just want to watch graphical explosions. And then when I got an M1 MacBook Air, it was one of the first ways that I stressed my M1 is by playing Kerbal Space Program on it, and it worked really well. It took a while to get it to slow down. I had to install, I eventually installed Realism Overhaul and all the mods and stuff to make it real. Tangent about Kerbal Space Program, I guess, but it worked really well on M1 MacBook Air, and then I started university and never opened it again. So.
So you're saying that on my, I could play Kerbal on my M1 Mac Mini? Because it's the same computer, basically, just different outsides.
I mean, yeah. In fact, it would probably work a little bit better because you have a fan. But it seemed to work for me, and I think it runs through Rosetta. But Rosetta is good enough that you don't really notice.
Yes, absolutely. Like, you know, I don't even realize. Right now, if you ask me which applications I have that are running through Rosetta and which are not, I wouldn't be able to tell you, because, I noticed nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise,
I make a habit of trying to use apps that are native, not necessarily because it matters for performance, but because I want to support developers that develop native on the platform that I use. But yes, so like all of the productivity apps I use, I think, are built native or universal.
Well, I wouldn't know, but then like the collection of applications I have installed doesn't really change much, and it's quite rare that things get added or removed, because I am way past that experimentation phase when you install everything you can find and you're curious about everything. Now, like, you know, if I look at my dock right now, it looks very boring, actually. And that's something we could talk about at some point, if it's even remotely interesting to anyone. To you in the first place, because you are the second participant in the conversation. But okay, noted, because I've only seen Kerbal when it was it was one of the milestones on the podcastathon of Relay FM. That's how I became aware of it.
And oh,
it
yeah.
Like, a lot of fun. Oh, God, yes, they were flying for the moon. It was hilarious.
I didn't even watch that. I think I was busy the day that was happening, but yeah, I remember.
I watched it in recording. I watched it on Twitch and in recording, and it was plenty of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And
was it Steven and Mike, or was it Mike and Jason? Because liftoff.
It was Steven and Mike.
Okay. Not Mike and Jason. Yeah, Steven and Jason, because they do liftoff. I miss liftoff. Liftoff was my favorite space podcast.
Okay. Well, when you put it like that, yeah, it does make sense. It does make sense, and which makes me think that video games might still be in your future when you get disposable income. Because I'm sure you'll get tempted by some shiny new console.
Or maybe not, because it's been so long that I haven't done something like this, and there are so many other things I can spend money on.
Fair. That's also a possibility. So it's like one or the other.
Yeah, because like, interesting. What am I going to do? The way I spend my free time is by reading and watching either YouTube or movies or TV shows. And like, or listening to
reading.
Podcasts.
We made the reading dragon out of you. I'm very proud of it. Not like you didn't read before you started talking to me, but I will take full credit. No,
I didn't read regularly before we started this podcast. So yes.
So I can't take credit.
The first book that I like started reading, or I didn't start reading it. I was already halfway through it before we started this podcast, but I wasn't regularly reading, so it was being very slow about it. But I was in the middle of the Anthropocene Reviewed when I decided I'm going to try to start reading regularly, and so I finished that in the course of 3 days. And then I've
been very happy about it.
Yeah, since then I've read probably 10 books.
Yeah, how's that paperclip thing going? Project Paperclip?
Operation Paperclip. It's
Operation Paperclip.
Yes. So the last week has been a little bit hectic. I've had family in town. I've had work stuff, all that. And so reading sort of free time falls off the wayside, and reading does as well, because it's really easy for me to just open YouTube and start playing something. It's not as easy for me to mindlessly open a book. And
yeah, that certainly doesn't happen.
And Operation Paperclip is sort of the second order book that I have going on right now. The first order one is the last in Tamora Pierce's series, Song of the Lioness.
And I know what you're going to read after that.
Do you?
Yes. You will be reading Life After Life by Kate Atkins.
Yeah, no, okay, I remember. Yes. I need to put that on my Goodreads list. I'm reading the last book of Song of the Lioness, which, if I could remember what the title is...
Is it one of those long and flowery ones, that are common for fantasy genre?
The title of the series is Song of the Lioness, which is pretty fantasy. A really cool title. But the name of the book, the last book, is Lioness Rampant. And I'm like,
that's an image.
3/4 of the way through that. I just had to open my iPad to iBooks. I know it's not called iBooks, but I call it that anyway. So that's the second order book. So because hectic, I haven't opened Operation Paperclip in probably a week. But I have a sort of way of managing. I read this much of the regular book I'm reading, and by regular I mean probably fiction. And then I read, once I've gotten through that much, then after that I open the second order book that I'm reading. And also, Operation Paperclip, no offense, because it is an interest, not to you, but no offense to the author. It is a very interesting topic, but it's nonfiction, so it's very easy to use it as a book that I read last thing of the day and use it to help me fall asleep.
Oh, word, I wish that worked for me, seriously.
Yeah.
That's the, you know, that always makes me kind of like smile whenever I see this advice, like, oh, how to get a better sleep or how to wind down, pick up the book. And yeah, and I'm like, yeah, sure.
It works for most people, but not book dragons.
Nope.
So.
All right. Yeah, you're, yeah, certainly. The way you put it, you certainly have plenty of things to occupy your free time in a entertaining and rewarding manner. So video games just like didn't happen for you. Probably the same way like for me right now, TV shows completely fell off the cliff. Like,
yeah,
I have zero urge to pick up a TV show. I've tried to start watching what's its name, Schitt's Creek, and I liked the first five or six episodes, but it, like, seriously, the whole experience of like, okay, here is a TV show, and the just seeing that there are so many in front of me, and it almost feels like a chore. And I don't have patience to sit in front of a TV for what however long episode lasts. So it kind of like didn't stick. And that certainly hasn't been the case all the time. It's a relatively recent development. But yeah.
Yeah.
So
whereas I have,
you're not a video, you're not a gamer. That's it. Like end of story, I guess.
If we're talking about TV shows, I have a few TV shows that I care about. Like For All Mankind, Ted Lasso, one that I have not heard anyone else in any of my circles talk about, but The Orville, which is on Hulu, which is basically Seth MacFarlane's ripoff of Star Trek, but it's absolutely amazing. So a few more, like Letterkenny, but they're not, I mean, they might be releasing more seasons, I'm not sure, but... bunch of shows. I also need to start and finish watching Our Flag Means Death, because I have HBO Max, and I haven't watched that yet. So, like, there are a few shows that I care about. Also, like, when is the third season of Ted Lasso coming out? Because I just rewatched the first two seasons for the, I think, third time.
Oh, right, yes. I watched the first season because everyone was talking about it, and I had complimentary Apple TV, and that was attached to the purchase of, I think, my iPad. And yeah. But then the Apple TV subscription expired, and I, like, that's it.
I pay for my own Apple One Premium just to get... Mm-hmm. Partially because 2 terabytes of iCloud data is an amount that I don't see myself using, which is good because I don't want to have to worry about how much storage I have. And then, like, Apple Arcade, not that I use it, like, but this is what we're talking about, I don't use it, but I have Apple Arcade. Apple News, which, like, everyone talks about, like, no one ever uses Apple News. I use Apple News. Only because it's a really easy way to get, like, I follow a few news channels, and it knows the sort of stuff that I'm looking for. So when I can bear to look at political news, this is where I go. Because it's actual journalism, and not just people screaming on Twitter. So, I'm going to stand off my soapbox, but yes. When we're talking about, like, when I have disposable income, video games might become more of a thing, but the way I see it, it's more like, I mean, right now, when just because of what I've been doing recently, if I ended up with a couple $100 of disposable income right now, I would probably buy a keyboard, because we talked about this, I think, last episode, but in the last few weeks, I've made upgrades to my keyboard, and then, because this is sort of how the nature of the hobby works, the more you look at stuff, the more you want to spend money, so I already sort of have a list of things that I want to buy once I have sort of the ability to do so. So that's fun. And then...
Well...
Go ahead.
Well, talking about the keyboards, it's a very object-oriented hobby, and it has a very strong component of collecting. So, and last time we did compare like keyboards and pens and fountain pens. And I was just wondering, and like you, like you know, of course, you wouldn't have the answer because you've just started it. But I have been like fit, like you know, I've been collecting and using fountain pens for more than a decade by now. And what I've noticed is that I certainly reached that point of saturation where a pen has to be incredibly remarkable to kind of like make me buy it, because I have 50-ish pens. Don't not sure we need to recount.
Yeah, and you're you're not a blogger in like,
yes,
you don't write about this stuff, so you don't have a reason to buy the mundane everyday pens just to review them. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't get the review samples or anything. And I have all the ink colors that I like to use, and some of them in multiple shades. And certainly the supply of ink will last me multiple lifetimes. So it's actually right now a very comfortable place of that I use fountain pens every day. I enjoy them a lot. I enjoy seeing new models, listening to the Pen Addict podcast. But I certainly don't have this collector itch anymore when applied to fountain pens. And also I have to, again, one biggest symptom of that is that I completely skipped this year's Platinum 3776 Limited Edition. And until this year, I bought them every year for at least 8 years. So that's kind of like a long streak to break.
I'm writing this down because I have to put it in the show notes because now you said it. But yes.
Oh, sorry. I'll send you a link. I'll send you a link to that pen. It's a cute pen. And it has a nice twist on it. But it didn't have like. I think I'm done with Platinum's limited editions because I've collected all their. I have now the full series of their Mountain Fuji really like themed 3776, and I think I'm good because the nibs are all the same, and I have the also almost entire range of nib sizes from Platinum, including some custom grinds. So
I think I heard them talking about this on the Pen Addict. I don't listen to every weekly episode of the Pen Addict, but it usually ends up being the one of the ones that I listen to if I get through all of the, you know, high priority podcasts that I listen to every week, which recently I have been because I've had a lot of I wouldn't say free time, but I've had a lot of podcast listening time. So yeah, but anyway,
yeah,
I think I heard them talking
going
about
back
it.
Going back to video games, I mean, I think I can safely and confidently identify, I'm a gamer. I don't play video games a lot or all the time or every day, but I mean...
Game Dragon.
No, not to that extent. But I do play regularly, and there is always one game that I am invested into and I'm like trying to get through. For a very long time, it was, and it actually still continues to be Animal Crossing. I still play Animal Crossing. Maybe not every day, but pretty regularly. Checking in, trying, you know, and I have two islands running because I have two switches. Don't at me, as they say on the podcasts. And I have my PlayStations as well. And I think I've mentioned it in the previous episode that... Now the big game that I've just got into is Persona 5. It's by no means a new game at all. It's old news, but I have never interacted with this franchise like the previous Persona games. I have no idea what it's about, other than me being very confident that I like the visuals. So that's how I picked it up. The visuals are great. The old screenshots look amazing. It's a step-by-step, battle mechanics. And it's JRPG. That was like plenty for me. And all the reviews were quite glowing. So now I have, that's my current in-progress game on my PlayStation 5. PlayStation 4 continues to be the Diablo 3 machine. Because Diablo 3 continues to be the perfect stress release and relief mechanism. When I'm very, very angry at someone, I launch Diablo 3 and I go into a dungeon. Yes,
take out your anger on whatever. I have no frame of reference for this game, but I was gonna say take out your anger on your enemies.
Oh my word, I'm talking to someone who doesn't know the premise of Diablo. That is so amazing. So Diablo is a old franchise, 20 plus years old. It's so old that, you know, I played the Diablo 1 as a kid, and like I've been, you know, kind of like jokingly mentioning to someone, what does it say about my childhood if the Diablo's soundtrack evokes warm and fuzzy feelings in me? But yeah, I played it as a kid, and you know, my brother helped me to get through some of the bosses. I've played the first one and the second one, and the third one I played relatively late. I've picked it up in 2015-ish, whenever it was released for PS4, basically. And oh god, that the amount of hours I sank into that one, because I got a platinum trophy. You know, for those who know, it will say how much time you need. It's platinum trophies. Basically, you get all the achievements in the that are assigned to the game. But Diablo's premise, Skylar, is you are a character. I mean, of a certain class, a hero, just a starting hero. Like you can be a paladin, you can be a monk, you can be a wizard, like the usual fantasy classes. And you walk into a small town that is called, oh god, I want to say Lestalum, but
this sounds like this sounds like a D&D world so far.
It is. And it has dungeons. So you walk into that world, into that town. God, it's not Lestalum. No, like, where is Lestalum coming from? Ugh. Okay, now it will haunt me until I remember, or I start Googling and.
Is it a D&D game you've played? Is that where it comes from?
No. I think it's whatever book recently I've read. I think that's Final Fantasy 15, but I'll need to double check with it. I'm mixing my games. Anyways.
All is fine until your character starts, like, shooting down green pipes. Then you're mixing games.
Yes, absolutely. So, you're in Tristram, that's the name of the town. Yes, you walk into that town, and basically that town is like in a very in deep state of ruin, because the church has been overrun by demons, and there is like there is no church anymore. Like, you know, it's the cathedral or church is the entrance into the dungeons, and there are multiple layers of dungeons, and there are demons, and everybody's like miserable and scared and so on. And of course you undertake the mission to save everybody, and on you go. And so basically the town, from as much as you're concerned as the main character and the player, the town consists of the cleric who heals you, blacksmith who repairs your weapons, incredibly chatty jeweler who installs gemstones into your armor, which, you know, adds some specifics and characteristics. Then we have a very and right now I'm describing Diablo 3 setup, because that's the one I remember. I honestly can't remember which NPCs were in the first and second one. It's been too long. Then there is incredibly shady witch who sells items for blood shards. Then there is the demoted Archangel. I mean, he's Archangel, but he's on Earth for some reason. He's the one who gives you quests and like just generally gives guidance what to do next. And then there are like three NPCs who you can ask to accompany you into the dungeon, and so they're like kind of like supporting. They're the supporting function. Most of the time they're a bit useless, so but you need them for certain achievements, and sometimes it does help. So it's a very, very rundown and small town. And the dungeons are endless. They're of course majority of the maps are fixed, but then there are some caves and rifts and places that are algorithmically generated.
Yeah.
They're kind of like slightly like they follow the same rule, but they're slightly different all the time. And the types of enemies you have there, they're all like of demonic nature. So you have skeletons, you have undeads, you have poison spewing walking alive trees. You have some kind of evil. Of course, everybody's evil there. Then you have some kind of upright goat, human creature looking things. There are all sorts of gross demons that I will not be even describing. There are flying things. So it's like there are bats. And of course, they vary in levels of difficulty of the skills they have. The worst ones that are the ones who have electricity. I hate those. So that's basically it. And you have, and the thing is, like, it's, you know, it sounds like, you know, demons and they're gross, but it's not a scary game because your camera is positioned as, you know, as the kind of like, it's above and a little bit behind.
Is it a chase cam?
On the angle. Sorry?
It's a chase cam?
What?
Isn't that the term? It's a chase cam. Because your camera is chasing your character.
Maybe I would call it isometric camera, but I know that this is not a conventional term. No, it's basically, it's a third person camera that is a little bit up high. So your character is relatively small. So you get all, you know, you see all the, you see all the like explosions and like, you know, blood and so on, but it's like, it's not it's not close up and detailed basically. So
it's not first person.
No, it's not. No. It's just the camera is third person always. And at the same time, it's very relaxing and cathartic, especially if you have a well-balanced character that is like upped to the maximum and you just go to some low levels and you plow through all that skeletons. Very satisfying. And there are, of course, a huge number of achievements. Oh, of course. You know, one feature of this game is goblins. There are money goblins. They spawn randomly. They giggle at you. They run around with a sack of gold. And they're really small, fast. Insert the expletive here. And they have a ton of gold, so you want gold, so you chase it, and then also like there is an in-game achievement if you like, you know, for like, I think if you kill 200 goblins. So basically, whenever you see the goblin, whenever you hear that characteristic giggle, you drop everything you do and you chase after that bastard.
Oh no!
Okay. And it can be very frustrating, but then it is a very satisfying feeling when you finally get it. So, yeah.
Do all the goblins have weird sort of RPG names?
Sorry?
Do all the goblins have, like, weird sort of RPG
No, names? Those are just goblins. That's okay. Just their name. It's
so none, so none of them are named Top Hat? Do you get that reference?
No.
Have you listened to TPK?
Should I? No.
Okay. I'm not going to explain this podcast, if any of our listeners get that reference, please let me know, because I just want to know that someone got that reference. But that's Total Party Kill.
Somebody make Skylar happy. Yeah. No, I tried listening to Total Party Kill, but it didn't stick.
I mean, fair. I have a hard time listening to D&D podcasts, but I just stuck with Total Party Kill because podcasters that I already know. But even then, I don't listen to it regularly these days. But yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Oh my word, I can't believe that I'm explaining Diablo gameplay. that's amazing. I'm enjoying this. So basically, yeah, and then the final, like, as we, again, it's an RPG. It's a very classic RPG. So you have your regular, like, respawning demons, and then you have the bosses, mini ones, the big grand ones. And the very, very, very final one is, of course, Diablo, the devil himself. Him? Them? Because, like, actually, in the third Diablo, it is very ambiguous. You kill Diablo, and you know, end of story, and everybody's saved, and the, you know, the holiness returned to Tristram or whatever. Like, basically, that's a, you know, it's a very thin plot line and storyline, because it doesn't matter there, because it is so-called hack and slash genre of RPG.
Yeah.
And there is endless loot, obviously. And there is endless, you know, capacity for fiddling with your armor and weapons and everything. And it is quite addictive if you're into this genre. And also what I like about Diablo is that it is very well crafted, you know. The sound design, the sound of opening, of the chest opening, the sound of the gold dropping, the sound of, like, you know, getting your weapon, like, you know, getting your weapons repaired. They're all so satisfying to hear. And the soundtrack is very good as well. Especially for the Diablo 2, like, you know, the soundtrack for Diablo and for original Diablo, I just, like, have it in my music library, because it makes a good background music.
Honestly, it sounds like you're describing Minecraft.
Well, look, it looks much prettier than Minecraft.
I mean,
much
fair, prettier. But earlier you talked about the algorithmically generated world, and then yeah. and you're talking about the sound design. And Minecraft does have really good sound design. I mean, it's a sort of low quality video game, not low quality, but it's a cheesy sort of video game.
It is intentionally a bit.
But
I've tried playing Minecraft,
and that's
it.
Minecraft was my go-to for a long time, but yeah, that sort of sounds like what you're describing. Although I do imagine it's probably much higher quality than that. But yeah,
it's much more violent.
Yeah, fair.
Basically, I think, because in Minecraft you, like, you know, you build things, you can like, I mean, it's crafting, like,
well,
it's,
you can do
name.
A lot of killing in Minecraft.
Yeah, but then it's like, it's not like there is a variety of monsters and there is a whole point of them, because, but yeah, I see what you mean. And it's and also another thing with Diablo is that, as, like, you know, makes it so such a sticky game for me. It's because, like, you know, it's pick up and, you know, pick up for 20 minutes and then drop it. And so that is really, like, I think the game that I played the most. And of course, as you could guess from my previous mix-up of with the Stalum, I played the hell out of Final Fantasy 15. And actually, I've started replaying it again, but on PS5 instead of PS4. And oh my word, it is very pleasant to play a game and not hear your console emit, like, you know, cosplaying an aeroplane that tries to take off. Seriously, because yeah. My PS4, I have the PS4 Slim. And that poor thing, just, like, it's coping with Diablo, but it wasn't coping with Final Fantasy 15 at all.
Before I had an M1 MacBook Air, I had a 2013 MacBook Pro, 13-inch.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to play Kerbal Space Program on it. And first of all, do not play Kerbal Space Program on that computer while it is on your lap. and second of all, do it while wearing headphones. Because you will notice the fan noise.
Yes, and I can imagine. Yes. Oh, God, the fans can get loud. before like my previous computer was MacBook Air 2012.
This is why, honestly, I appreciated the fact that the MacBook Air doesn't have a fan. And not even the fact that, like, the processor is really good, so even if it did have a fan, probably, like, it's fine. But like,
well, trust me, 2012 version of MacBook Air had a fan, and I've heard it every single time I had to open Zoom or Microsoft Teams.
Oh, yeah.
That thing sounded as if it's about to die.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy right now with my current setup because I don't hear fans at all. And it's like, it's not like a very, you know, humming background noise. No, that MacBook Air was screaming at me.
Theoretically, anyways, if you're hearing anything other than wind noise from your fan, then technically there's something wrong with the fan. Because a well-made, I mean, I could be wrong about this, but from everything I've heard, a well-made fan in a computer, you'll hear the wind noise, but if it's like if it's new and it's made well,
look,
then
when your computer
you
is 9 years
humming.
Old, when your computer is 9 years old, all bets are off.
Fair.
I was grateful that thing was even still turning on because at some point it was my only computer and I didn't have backups, so yeah, it was quite something.
Fair.
Anyways, where were I? Yeah, so video games, I play them, but like on and off. Like there are like long stretches of time where like, you know, in like, you know, a few years when I don't touch anything, but there is always something. And I'm all the way Sony and Nintendo console gamer. I don't have a gaming PC. I have no interest in getting one just because it takes too much hassle. And that's the reason why I like consoles. You just get it, attach it to your TV, job done. And yes, I'm a very lucky owner of a PS5 because the shop where I buy, local shop where I buy my consoles and games, they, you know, they are aware of this revolutionary concept called electronic queuing.
Oh, yeah.
So when PS5 just, you know, got to the European market, I emailed them and I asked like, okay, do you take pre-orders? And they're like, yes, we take pre-orders. Deposit a portion of a price and here is your number. We will get in touch once it's available. And they were incredibly nice about it because at some point they emailed me asking if I'm really sure I want the digital version of PS5. Because that's what I wanted. Because they actually have more disc version and like I could get a disc version quicker. And I was like, no, appreciate the question, but no, thank you. I want the symmetrical pretty one. So I have my PS5. I really like it. The controller, it feels very good in the hands. It's certainly, and like to my big relief, it is still very different from the Xbox controller because Xbox controller hurts my hands a bit. And you know, as the evidence that I'm a gamer, yeah, I do have like four consoles depending on how you count in my possession. And sometime next year I'll get the Panics playdate. I was very late ordering it. I was incredibly late to ordering it, so I'll be waiting for next year. But maybe if I'm lucky, I'll be able to get my hands on it this on a play date this autumn, depending on again how they get delivered. So yeah, I do play video games. They're not my primary choice of entertainment, but I would say, I would say they come second to books. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because no, like.
Yeah, because TV is not in the equation.
You're never not going to be a book dragon.
Yeah, so like if I have like, for example, let's say hypothetically, it's a bad weather day, so going outside is out of the question, and I don't have anything to do, like any mandatory things, so or I'm procrastinating and ignoring them, all those mandatory things. So, in order of not importance, but in order of priority, it would be I would pick about a book to read. I would turn on a gaming console. And thirdly, I would probably pick up whatever craft project I have going on. Because there is like God, my crafts shelf looks very sad right now because there are three things I have in progress and I haven't touched them in a while. So all the people who I promised the scarves to, you'll probably get them in 2023. Sorry. Yeah, that's this is very, well, not very, but a relatively brief summary of my situation with video games. And I'm eagerly awaiting for a number of titles. So Final Fantasy 16 has been promised to us next year. Final Fantasy 7 Remake Part 2 is also supposed to come out soon. And then Blizzard, once they figure out all the mess with their management and the whole like sell over, hand over, like whoever bought them, I don't remember right now. I think, was it Microsoft who bought them? Once that is sorted, they did also actually made statement that Diablo 4 is to be released next year, which is quite curious. And yeah, so these are the three major titles I'm waiting for. And they're all kind of like projected to be 23, 24. So I have plenty of time to finish Persona 5. But again, right now it's summer. So summer is not really gaming time for me because I prefer, well, I do make an effort to spend some time outside, you know, because it's sunny and the weather is good and I'm not cold.
Well, change. I would do the same, except it's too hot.
Yes, that is absolutely a thing. Can't argue with that. Yeah, there is, but still, thankfully, it's not always too hot here. Like, for example, this week was actually pleasant.
Sure.
Of course, the forecast doesn't look promising for the in couple of weeks. But then again, after sunset, it's actually bearable. And the summer after sunset has absolutely different feel to it than in other times of the year. But yeah, the primary gaming time is winter because, I mean, I'm not going outside in winter at all if I can help it.
Fair enough. I think we've talked about this before, but I enjoy cold weather. I prefer.
Yeah, we did. We do mention it. That is yet another thing that you and I are completely opposite about. I do not enjoy cold weather at all.